Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin broadcasting from Seattle, Washington with the Center for Science and Culture. We have a very special guest with us today in the studio, Dr. Guillermo Gonzalez, a name that is all too familiar to listeners of the ID the Future podcast. Dr. Gonzalez has been in the news quite a bit recently, and he actually happens to be here in Washington right now, and he's here to do an interview with us. So, Dr. Gonzalez, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great visiting the New Discovery Institute offices. They're really wonderful.
Well, I feel the same way. First off, what are you doing here in Washington? What brings you out to this part of the country?
Well, I was invited to speak at a local community college, South Puget Sound Community College in Olympia, and I spoke there today, March 6th, on the topic of the Copernican Principle. In particular, it was about what the latest astronomical discoveries say about our place in the universe and whether the Copernican Principle is valid or not.
So what is your conclusion? Is the Copernican Principle valid?
No, it isn't. It's based on a historical fallacy, namely that Copernicus supposedly dethroned the Earth from its central position of high status. In fact, Copernicus didn't do that. The center was not a place of high status or honor. It was actually the lowest part of the universe in terms of status. And secondly, anyway, you can't equate metaphysical status with geographic location. Geographic location and metaphysical significance are two completely separate things that have nothing to do with each other.
So, for example, you know, Seattle is up here in the corner of the United States, yet, of course, this should be considered, you know, the center of the United States or something along those lines. I don't know.
Or it'll be more like saying that Iowa is the most important state in the union because it's centrally located.
Well, it's important as long as you're there, as far as we're concerned. That's a good point, though. I mean, I think that it's interesting that people would equate being at the center with being the most important.
That's right. The Copernican Principle advocates have also claimed that additional astronomical discoveries since Copernicus have only reinforced this notion that we're insignificant. And I was just giving evidence. In fact, it hasn't. We've learned that we're living in a very special time in the history of the universe when we can make a wide range of discoveries. In fact, we're probably living in the best time to do cosmology. We discovered that the universe had a beginning. And that contradicted a version of the Copernican principle called the perfect cosmological principle. It said there shouldn't be any special time, and therefore the universe should be eternal. And that was the foundational idea behind the steady state theory that Fred Hoyle championed. Of course, that theory lost out to the Big Bang theory. And so the Big Bang theory posits that there was a beginning to time. And so that contradicted that prediction of the perfect cosmological principle, which was motivated by the Copernican principle.
So in a new way, the new cosmological discoveries are showing that the universe is designed for life, designed for discovery, and in your view, that shows that we are possibly not just this insignificant speck.
That's right. In fact, many advocates of the Copernican principle state that, first of all, we're not special in time or place, and that implies then metaphysically that we're not privileged or special or even purpose. There's no purpose to anything. But the evidence, in fact, shows the contrary. Evidence I present in The Privileged Planet, that there is a purpose to our existence in the universe.
Okay.
As you said, to discover the world around us. And so we are living in a special place that allows us to observe the universe in a better way than most other locations would be. So that contradicts the Copernican principle that basically says that any place is just like any other place.
Okay.
There's no special place in the universe, but we are, in fact, living in a special place in the universe.
If I didn't mention this already, or if you haven't already figured it out, Dr. Gonzalez is an astronomer. He's currently assistant professor of astronomy at Iowa State University, and he has written a book called The Privileged Planet, co-authored with Jay Richards. And this book discusses this whole topic of whether the universe is designed for discovery. And I would encourage any listeners who'd like more information on this to go to theprivilegedplanet.com. Or there's also a video out by the same name, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it features Dr. Gonzalez and a number of other scientists talking about the fact that the universe, it is not just a meaningless, purposeless place. Is that the basic gist of...
That's right. That we found evidence for one purpose of the universe, and that's for it to contain intelligent beings who can discover the universe around them and discover that it had an origin, discover its basic properties, its age, and so on.
Well, let's switch to some more interesting topics. I guess, just want to throw out a question for you. What book are you reading right now?
Well, I've been interested in some of these debates that have been going on lately between the, quote, new atheists and some Christians. In particular, I heard that Jay Richards, my co-author with The Privileged Planet, debated Christopher Hitchens, one of the new atheists.
At Stanford.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard that Hitchens had previously debated Dinesh D'Souza.
Mm.
And I heard him interviewed on the radio, and he sounded very smart and very eloquent.
Mm.
And so I decided to buy his latest book, Dinesh D'Souza's latest book, What's So Great About Christianity.
Okay.
And so it's a great read. He basically answers the new atheists and gives a defense of theistic beliefs, and in particular Christianity.
Are the new atheists really new?
Not really. It's the same old tired arguments that we've heard for a long time. In fact, some of the atheists aren't atheists anymore, most importantly with Anthony Flew.
Mm.
And so maybe some of these new atheists will take Flew to heart and listen to their intellectual godfather, you might say.
Very interesting. How about your research? What's the latest scientific paper that you published?
I just published a paper in the monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society on my latest work on extrasolar planets. And this paper, I addressed the question of the abundance of lithium in the atmospheres of stars with planets. I had done an earlier paper back in 2000 that gave perhaps a hint that there was a different lithium abundance among stars with planets compared to other stars, but that the statistics just weren't convincing enough at the time. And other research groups have addressed the question of the lithium abundance since then, but there have been conflicting results, so I decided to return to this question and try to resolve it with a larger statistical sample and a new statistical analysis. And I think pretty convincingly I showed this time that stars with planets do indeed have a different lithium abundance than other stars.
Okay, so explain to us, I mean, what is the significance of a star having lithium? Does it mean that it's strung out and needs to relax a little bit? Or what does it mean when a star has a lot of lithium in the star?
Yeah. Well, lithium is an interesting element. I didn't just choose that element at random to study, because lithium is a very delicate element in the atmosphere of a star. It's destroyed at relatively low temperatures at the base of the atmosphere of a star like the sun. And so over time, the lithium abundance at the surface of a star declines as a star ages, because it gets used up. And so any process that affects the mixing at the base of the convection zone of a star will affect the surface lithium abundance. Even changes in the rotation speed affects the mixing in the outer layers of a star.
Okay.
And so it's a delicate element that's also sensitive to a number of parameters. And so in addition to lithium, I also measured the rotation of the stars and determined if that was different from other stars. And indeed, I found that stars with planets rotate more slowly than other stars. And so both the lithium abundance and the rotation correlate with each other.
Okay.
So stars with planets have both lower lithium abundance and they're slower rotators.
Interesting.
And so this indicates to me that stars with planets have experienced a different rotation history than other stars. And I speculate in the paper that the explanation for this might be the presence of a disk of material around the star early on, out of which the planets formed.
Okay.
And the gravity from this disk torqued the star a little bit and slowed it down a little more than other stars that don't form without disks.
Interesting.
And so this is something that's going to be very helpful to theorists who try to understand how planets form and how the circumstellar disk around a star affects the star itself.
Interesting. Yeah. And is this paper already published or is it forthcoming?
It's in press. Monthly notices.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you published a lot of peer-reviewed papers, so this is another feather in your cap. What about the movie Expelled? Have you seen it? And if so, what do you think of it?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, but it seems that just about everybody else I know has seen it at one of the screenings. Maybe I'll get to see it before it's released finally in April. But yes, I was interviewed for the movie Expelled, and my understanding is that I am in the final cut of the movie. And I'm glad that my case and the case of other people who have been persecuted or lost their jobs over either promoting intelligent design or criticizing Darwinism, I'm glad this is being brought to the public's attention in a major way, so the public needs to learn about this.
Well, we appreciate everything you've done and your courage and everything, Dr. Gonzalez.
Thanks.
I guess my last question for now is, do you have any plans to do more research in the future? What are your future plans for research?
Well, I would like to pursue my research with extrasolar planets. I'd like to pursue additional research with better defining the boundaries of the galactic habitable zone. And that involves a wide variety of processes to study, including the variation in the supernova rate with position in the galaxy, the variation in the comet impact rate with position in the galaxy, and other effects.
Well, Dr. Gonzalez, we wish you the best in your future research and all the work that you're going to be doing in the future. And thank you for all the excellent work you've done in the past. And it's really great to have you on the show with us
today.
Well,
thanks, Casey. I really appreciate it.
This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.